Well, it's good to be in God's house tonight. That three of you is happy to be here. Let me say it one more time. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. Amen. I'm glad I'm in church and glad I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. Somebody over here on this road right there and through here, ain't you glad you're going to heaven? How about this road right here? Ain't y'all glad you're going to heaven? How about you right here in the middle? Y'all glad you're going to heaven? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Boys up there, son. They're getting them voices out there. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Amen. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, amen, you're sitting there thinking, man, I wish I was going. You can. You can. Amen. And the only reason you won't go to heaven is you choose not to. Amen. It's a choice. Amen. And I'm glad this evening, I put on Facebook just a few days ago, amen, we don't have a choice of how we're going to leave this earth, but we do have a choice on where we're going to spend eternity. Amen. Amen. So for the child of God, this is the only hell we'll ever know. Amen. This is the only hell I'll ever experience is right here on earth. And for the lost person, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is really the only heaven you'll ever know. And I'd hate to think that what we're living in right now would be considered my heaven. Great God in heaven, what a mess we're living in today. Amen. 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 You think it's bad now, lost person? It's going to get worse from here on out. But for the saved child of God, there's a better day a coming. Amen. Amen. Glad I got a better day a coming. Promise. Amen. I bless the Lord for that. So tonight, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I wish I could get that thing settled and get born again, I wouldn't wait at the end of the service. Holy Ghost of God nudges your heart any time between now and the end of this service, and you say, you know what, I want to make my preparations ready to go to heaven. You know what you need to do? You ought to get in this altar right here while I'm preaching. It ain't going to bother me. I'll step over you. I'll call time out, Brother Wayne, and get in the altar with you and pray with you. Amen. Getting in the altar during preaching don't bother me. But you dying and going to hell will bother me. Amen. Amen. So anyway, I said all that to say this. Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1 tonight. I got hung up through the night last night. I thought it was the Mexican food that I ate before I went to bed. But it wasn't the Mexican food. It was the Lord began to deal with me after I got back over to that little hut on the side of the road. Amen. Couldn't go to sleep. I told my wife this morning, I said, I think it's probably the worst night I've ever had trying to go to sleep. And once I got to sleep, the Lord woke me up just before daylight this morning and started talking to me. And me and the Lord just had a pretty good time together through the day today. And I got hung up on that last night when I started talking over there about that and Jesus business. Amen. I couldn't get past that and Jesus. And that's who I want to talk about tonight. Amen. 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 If that bores you and that bothers you, amen, there's something wrong with you. Amen. But I want to talk about this man Jesus for a minute. Can we for a little while? Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. If you're there tonight, say amen. 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 We want to read a couple of verses right here, and I'm going to mind the Lord, and I'm going to try just to do my best to be honorable unto Him and be mindful of time, and I don't want to bore nobody. But I'm telling you right now, it's on my heart. I don't know how the Lord's working in your heart right now, but it's on my heart tonight, y'all, that somebody needs to get born again. Amen. Somebody needs to get saved. Yes. Amen. Somebody just flat out needs to tell the world, amen, adios, and say hello to Jesus. Amen. Just tell the world adios and tell the devil, I'm done with you. Amen. Sell out and get born again. Amen. So that'll be my heart, and I'm just going to try to preach tonight. Mark number 1, if you're there, look at that person beside of you and say, pray for him. Look at that person. Look up in your list to me. Look at that person beside of you and say, leave me alone for about 20 minutes. Amen. All right, because I want to tell you something. You may be sitting beside somebody, behind somebody, or in front of somebody that needs to make some life-changing decisions. And if you bother them, amen, and it'll be on you the reason they don't get the help they need. Amen. I got to get out of here. Mark 1, Mark number 1. Amen. Let's just pick up reading verse number 5 for a minute. We'll read a minute and we'll see how the Lord helps us. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan. It's just talking about John, all right, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached. Here's what old John was preaching, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Don't let that scare y'all. Amen. Don't let that bother nobody about that Holy Ghost business. Amen. Amen. I know a lot of people, a lot of Baptist folk especially, get nervous when you start talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Youngins, you ain't going to get saved without the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of people talk about that gift of the Holy Ghost. They can talk in tongues and interpret dreams and wrestle dinosaurs and unicorn. I don't know what they believe. I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. Without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to get born again. Amen. So don't let the Holy Ghost bother you. Amen. But the Bible says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Verse 10, and I'm going to quit, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Maybe I'll read one more. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, I love you. And I sure do thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, we can call upon your name. Lord, I come before you tonight, God, just as humble as I know how. God, I'm confessing, Lord, in my fleshly faults and my failures before you, Lord, and I need your help. And I pray, oh God, that tonight, God, you'd ever help us for just a little while, God, to preach the Word of God as you've given it unto us. And I pray, God, you'd help some person, God, tonight, God, see their need of a Savior, God, whoever they may be, and get marvelously and gloriously born again before it's eternal and everlasting too late. God bless the church. Encourage your people. Do that tonight that needs to be done. Do something, Lord, that'll make an eternal and everlasting change and make a difference in this day and time we're living. Touch your servant, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to share with you tonight. This is my heart this evening as Jesus. If you know much about your Bible, we've heard in the scriptures that we've read that John the Baptist has been a forerunner of Jesus. He's been preaching. He's been telling the world, "Hey, somebody a coming." He's not been preaching John. He's not been preaching church doctrine. He's not been preaching what he thought, what he believed, what he cared about. But what John was a preaching, Jesus is a coming. Amen. I'm here for just a little while, but in a little while I'm going to be gone. And if you read your Bible and every one of the Gospels, it talks about John being the forerunner of Jesus. The minute that Jesus steps on the scene, it's like John takes a back seat. It's no longer about John. Now it's all about the one, amen, that he's been preaching about. Can I be a John the Baptist right here just for a minute and tell you there's somebody coming after us tonight who's much greater than I am. He's much greater than the church is. He's greater than all of your woes and all of your heartaches. This man Jesus, when these glorious day breaks, is a coming back to get his bride. And we're getting out of here, amen. And if you don't know the Lord is your Savior, you're going to be left behind to suffer the consequences. And you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. There's one a-coming, young'uns. Amen. He's a-coming after us tonight, and we're getting out of here. Amen. Bless his holy name. But I begin to read this Bible right here, and I begin to read through these verses right here, and I want to just try to be a help and a blessing to us. And this is the first chapter of the book of Mark. We see now that this is the first chapter of Jesus' life.
Jesus is now stepping on the scene. And what is it? How many verses right there in Mark chapter number 40 or Mark 1? About 43 verses. John has introduced Jesus. Jesus now begins his earthly ministry after he's baptized by John in the River Jordan. And I want us to look tonight. This is where God began to deal with our heart, Brother Wayne, on people that he dealt with in the first chapter of his life. And you read your Bible right here, and we're going to take a look at a few people and the kinds of people, the classifications of people that Jesus dealt with in the first chapter of his life. Yeah, Lord. And I'm telling you what my heart is right here. The people that he dealt with in the first chapter of his life, if we would see ourselves in the first chapter of Jesus' life, it may change the second chapter of your life. Your first chapter, amen, help us out right here, Lord. Talk to us, Lord. The first chapter of our life is our life leading up to the very minute that we're living right now. You're being led by the Holy Ghost, or you're being led by the flesh, you're being led by the devil. Amen. But tonight, boy, wouldn't it be nice to see somebody take the pencil or the pen that they've been writing their life story with. They've been writing down their dreams. They've been writing down what they do. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice tonight, fellas, if somebody would say, you know what, Lord, I'm done writing the chapters of my life. I'd like to take this pen and pass it over to you, Holy Ghost, and let you start doing the rest of the writing. While you got that pen, just go ahead and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then pencil out the rest of my story for me. I've made a mess of it up until now, but Lord, you can finish my novel, and it can bring glory and honor to your holy name. So the first chapter of the life of Jesus may help us with the second chapter of our life. Let's look right here tonight. I'll get out of here. Amen. I've scared half of you to death already, but it's going to be all right. The first crowd of people that Jesus deals with in the first chapter of his life, let's look at what happens at verse number 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother. What was they doing? They was casting a net unto the sea. Then the last part of that verse says, for they were fishers. Now, wouldn't it be ironic that the last few words in verse number 16 says, for they were fishers? Now, who else would you imagine would be throwing a net into the sea? But I'm thinking this right here. I'm getting ahead of myself right here. But I'll be all right in a minute. I'm just glad there's fishing. The Bible said they was fishers. Now, how sad would it have been for these men to be supposed to be fishers that were sitting there with a net wrapped around their head and hanging off their neck, or just laying over there in the bushes somewhere? I'm just thankful, bless his name, that the first crowd of people that Jesus runs across in his chapter number 1 was doing something. And if there's ever a day and time in this world we're living in, we better be doing something right now. Amen. I'm telling you right now, this is my heart, and I'm going to stick to my heart because God put it there, and I believe it's right. Amen. We've used everything under the sun since March of last year to get slack, to get lazy, to get complacent. Amen. But I believe that if there's ever a time that the church of the living God ought to be rolling our sleeves up and say, look, there's work to be done. There's people out there wandering around aimlessly, don't know what they're going to do. Somebody ought to go get them and tell them Jesus loves. Well, there's work to be done. I got to go, man. The Bible says that he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now watch your Bible. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers to become fishers of men. Well, look what happened, verse number 18. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Amen. So the first crowd of people that I'm interested in tonight, in chapter number 1 of Mark number 1, the first chapter of the life of Jesus, shows me that first of all, these fishermen was willing to depart what they were familiar with, drop everything that they'd always done, lay aside their nets, lay aside their way of living, lay aside their boats, lay aside their comforts, and just forsake it all and follow Jesus. So the first crowd of people I want to label this crowd of as is the departed crowd. That crowd that was willing to depart the old lifestyle. That crowd that was willing to depart the old man and go with Jesus. Amen. Now I wonder how many of us tonight can look back. Throw back in our memory banks, amen, and go back and remember the day that the Lord come by. I wish somebody would help me right here. Amen. Remember where you were and what you was into when Jesus saved you. Amen. Amen. I don't know none of you, Harley's life story. Don't know where the Lord found you when you was on your way to hell. But the fact of the matter is, we as everyone is lost as a ball in high weeds on a fast track to hell. Amen. But the Holy Ghost of God came by and said, if you just trust me, lay aside your sin, lay aside your comforts, and follow after me, I'll promise you a greater day ahead. I'm telling you right now, you can sit there and soul up if you want to, but I'm fixed to take me a lap on the simple fact tonight that first of all, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and second of all, I'm not the man that I used to be. Blessed be the Lord tonight for a departed lifestyle and one all in for the Lord. I'm talking about a departed lifestyle. They was working. Thank God they was. Amen. But I like what verse number 17 says, that not only were they working in verse number 16, but Jesus saith unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Jesus basically said, y'all come with me, I'm going to take you somewhere. Amen. Amen. So not only was they working, but Andrew, they saw, the Lord saw their worth. Amen, Brother Wayne. He said, boys, that'll be worth something one of these days. So I'm just going to go by there and call their name and let them be used of me for a little while. I wonder tonight, hey, if he's to see us where we're sitting, I wonder what we'd be worth unto him. Amen. I wonder what our worth is. I'm not talking about society. I ain't talking about what that crowd down there at work thinks of you, what that crowd down there at Walmart or somewhere else thinks of you. I'm talking about what the Lord thinks of you. What does he think you're worth tonight? Amen right there. I'm telling you, yeah, God help us. I better leave that alone. But look at verse number 18. The Lord saw their worth. He said, hey, something about them boys. I think I can use them. But not only was they working, and Jesus saw their worth, go back to verse number 18. Right here, and the Bible says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. They was workers, there's worth something, watch this now, but they was also willing to leave it all behind and go with the Lord. Amen. So that crowd right there that I'm looking at this evening in that passage of Scripture is that crowd that has experienced a departed lifestyle. I'm worried about some of this crowd this day and time we're living. Boys, y'all can, I hope I don't kill nothing right here. I'm just going to tell you my heart. I'll get worried about that crowd that says they get born again, but they have a hard time leaving the worldly things. Amen. Amen. You get born again, you get a dose of good old-fashioned, old-time salvation, you won't have a hard time walking away from the things of the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you right now, I know it's a struggle for some people. I understand that. I know it's a struggle. Amen. I'll be truthful with you. God didn't save me from a crack pipe. He didn't save me from alcoholism. He didn't save me from abusive relationships. Man, I was raised in church all my life. Daddy's a preacher. I was raised in church all my life. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, that same grace has saved me from the crack pipe and from alcohol. He might have saved you in it, but he saved me from it. But it took the same blood to save a knucklehead preacher's son as it does to save that boy, that woman, that girl that's living in the gutters in this world. It's the same blood. It's the same grace. I had to walk down the same Romans road to get born again, just like some of you are. Amen, right there. So I'm telling you right now, I don't care where you've been, where you've come from. I don't know. I don't care about your last 10 years of history. Ain't that a blessing right there? Somebody ought to help me right here. When you get born again, the Lord don't say, well, let's just do a background check, see where you've come from. We're going to put you on a probation time and let you go through that for a while. No, dear neighbor, He doesn't know everything He is about us. And I'm thankful, hallelujah, according to that Bible, that He's faithful and just to save us and to forgive us of our sins. Amen. Done it for me. Brittany, did He do it for you? Amen. If He can do it for me and Brittany, surely He can do it for anybody else. Did He save you, Jordan? Hallelujah to God. He can save any of us tonight. But we've got to be willing to say, you know what? That old life, done with it. Them old friends, done with it. Yeah. I'm telling you right here, them boys, it was out there fishing. Jesus said, hey, y'all come on, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Chris, I wonder how many of them boys was else out there fishing. And them old boys cast that net, said, I'm going to cast this net for the last time. And Jesus, hey, man. Let me, I may not get done right here. This is helping me. Watch this. The Bible says that Jesus saw them casting their net in the sea. And they cast the net into the sea, and then it was then that Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. And the Bible says it straightway they went. I don't believe anywhere in that Bible, Brother Jacob, does them boys out there say, now Jesus, wait just a minute. We got this net out here, and if we could just drag this net in one more time, they might be a big haul out there. We can pad our pocketbooks, and maybe we can feed our family one more time. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to wait till they cast it out there one more time, and when it gets cast out there, then I'm going to give them the invitation. Are you willing to forsake the world, forsake the net, forsake the fish, and not know what the next day's going to bring? Honey, I think it's a pretty good idea right there. Honey, the Lord ain't never lost a battle yet. He ain't never lost a sinner yet. So I'm telling you right now, it's a pretty good bargain to go with God and get saved. Amen. And I'm thinking right now, they could be them other fishers out there. They saw them throw that net out there, and they're thinking, huh, you boys crazy? This is prime time fishing season. And you're going to leave them nets out there? I think them boys, Andrew and Simon, said, no, you don't have them. Because I believe what that man Jesus right there has to offer is a whole lot better than them nets out yonder. Amen. So I'm telling you right now, some of us, some of you, amen, may need to just go ahead and eyeball the world and eyeball your friends and eyeball society, amen, and just say, you know what? If I go with the world, I'm going to lose everything. But if I go with God, I have nothing to lose. I don't know if that made sense or not. It felt pretty good when I said that. Yes, amen, friend. I mean, it's a pretty good trade if you ask me. Everybody's trying to make a good trade. Everybody's trying to get a good trade. Everybody wants to get one up on somebody's trading something. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, trading a lifestyle of sin, a lifestyle of misery. Amen. A lifestyle of laying your head on your pillow at night and worried about this, worried about that. You get born again tonight, you're still going to have worries. But you're also going to have a friend that'll lay right down there beside of you and say, it's going to be all right, I got you. Amen. Tonight you go home by yourself without being saved. You're going to go home and fight that pillar all night. But you get born again tonight. The Lord is telling me, have that pillar. Let me fight that for you for a little while. I'm glad I got a friend in Jesus tonight. Amen. I may still go through the battles we all going through, but honey, I got a friend on my side. I've got a constant, hallelujah. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's my friend. Well, the departed one. I've got to get out of here. That crowd had departed everything, forsook everything, and followed Jesus. Ain't that a blessing? Sir, ma'am, be a real good idea tonight for your family's sake for you to forsake everything. And just go with Jesus.
Help me, Lord. Hey, I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to talk to y'all again. You're getting ready to have that baby in just a few days. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Stop right here where I'm at right now. Are you the daddy and are you the mama that you need to be to bring that baby in this world? Is the life you're living right now the life you want to pass on to that baby and say, do what mom and daddy's doing? Amen. What scares me to death is a lot of times we'll beat the wheels off our young'uns. Amen. I hope I got liberty to say what I'm about to say right now. Amen. But if you live in ungodly and you live in nasty and you cussing all the time, and them boys right there roll off some of those same words as you say, don't whoop them. They just doing what daddy does. Amen. But I'm glad on a Tuesday, Monday night, amen, that they're in church with their daddy. Amen. Mamas are posting pictures on Facebook about going to church and happy to be going to the house of God. But it drives me crazy to see young'uns doing the same thing mamas and daddies are doing, and the young'uns get in trouble for it. Amen. Amen. I hope I got liberty to say what I'm about to say right here. Amen. For that mom and daddy that'll smack a young'un for cussing, first time I hear them cuss, I'd like to slap them right across the head just like they smacked that young'un. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, we ought to be living a life before our young'uns that we look at our young'uns and say, do what we're doing. We ain't perfect, but we tried our best to make it to heaven. We tried our best to get to glory. We're trying our best to live a life pleasing unto the Lord. Do that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, we ought to depart this old lifestyle and go with Jesus. Amen. Well, I better go on. I better get on out of here. I got to go, man. Y'all killing me. Look at verse number 21. Look at verse number 21. God help us right here. Go back to 19. When he'd gone a little bit farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending nets. And straightway he called them, and he left their father Zebedee in the ship, and the hired servants, and went after him. Amen. There's that first crowd that's casting nets, doing all they can do to catch something. But then there's some other boys over there trying to mend the nets. Amen. That means they was fishermen, but they had some things wrong with their casting agents. Amen. Hey, some of us tonight need to get our nets fixed up and mended up. Amen. The reason some of us ain't catching nothing is we've got holes in our nets. Amen, right there. Reason the churches are struggling today is because we got holes in our nets. We're casting out there and dragging back. And there's a hole big enough to drag a 57 Chevy through. Amen. I'm telling you right now, some of us need to start working on our casting a little bit. Amen. But anyway, there's something that needs to be repaired. There's some things that need to be fixed in our lives tonight. I got to go. 21, they came to Capernaum. Everybody with me? I spent too much time right there, so let's go. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. He's preaching with somebody who knows what they're talking about. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou come to destroy us. And I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now ain't that something right there? An old boy that's possessed with the devil says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Where's that boy at? That big G God. Amen. That big G God. The Holy One, of God. And Jesus, look here, Jesus rebuked him saying, hold thy peace and come out of them. Look at verse 26, and I'm gone. And the unclean spirit had torn and cried with a loud voice. He came out of him. Ain't that a blessing right there? I'm stopping and reading right there and saying this, that the first crowd that Jesus dealt with in chapter number 1 of his life was the departed ones. He was willing to depart alive and go after him. And then in the next crowd I see is that crowd, hallelujah, that had to be dealt with at the house of God. And I wrote it in my little piece of paper right here, so I might as well just go ahead and tell you, as God gave this to me this morning, amen, he had to go down there and he had to deal with the demons at church. That's where he was at the synagogue.
And what was he dealing with at the synagogue? The demons. Amen. So I'm telling you right now, this evening, there might be some demons up in here in the synagogue, the church as we'd call it, that needs to be dealt with. I'm going to move on real quick right here because I don't want to make nobody nervous, make nobody mad. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's some demons, Brother Wayne, that needs to be dealt with at the house of God. One of the biggest demons we deal with in this day and time is tradition. Another demon that we deal with at the house of God is routine. How we do what we do, and we don't know why we do it, but that's just the way we've always done it. Amen, right there. But when we do things over and over and over, amen. Listen to me right here. Y'all, I'm not knocking the way you do things around here, but I learned last night and after tonight, I know how we're going to do this thing this week. We're going to come in here, we're going to sing 3 songs, we're going to have somebody pray, somebody's going to sing a special, I'm going to preach, and we're going to go home. You know what that is? 2 nights already of tradition and routine. Amen. So tomorrow night, amen, I may just bust up in here and before anything gets done, I just may preach. Amen. Just stir the waters up. Because here's the deal, y'all. If we know how we're doing it in our churches, the devil knows how we're doing it. Amen. Amen. And most of all, the Lord yawning in heaven, he knows how we're going to do it. Amen. I'm telling you right now, I'd like to see the Holy Ghost. And unless the Lord changes Wednesday night, we're done with this meeting. So I'm thinking of tomorrow night or Wednesday night, I'd like to see the Holy Ghost of God bust up in here and just knock this thing off its axle a little while, and we just go to church for a minute or two. Amen. But tradition and routine is killing us. Amen. Amen. I'm on right here. Am I right here? Amen. Another demon we have to battle every day in our churches. If it's going on right here, I'm about to plow it up. Amen. But if it ain't, you can just say, my goodness, is that going on? I'm telling you right now, there ain't no church on this side of the Mississippi River, on this side of eternity, needs to be ran by a man. About 3 of you said amen right there. Amen. You say, well, you're a pastor. Don't you run your church? Nope. The Holy Ghost of God, by the help of the Lord, we run that thing. Amen. But it gripes me to no end to hear how. Amen. Right here. I'm about to get real personal, but I'm going to share my heart right here. It's a crying dadgum shame when a church, a New Testament church, can't function and breathe and live as a New Testament church without getting the permission and the authority of a man that has no position in that church. And it's a going on in this day that we're living right now. Amen. If it's a deacon, bless his holy name, I'd vote that man out. I'd vote him out. I'd kick him to the curb so the church of the living God could go on for God's glory. Amen. You say, you can't vote a deacon out. He was blessed by or voted in. Not called by God. It's a called by man. Amen right there. Man, I'm about to help somebody right here if I don't help nobody else. Y'all, yeah, Lord. I love every one of you from the front to that back right back yonder. But I'd do something about the problem, or I'd yank my family up and I'd go somewhere where I could go to church. Amen. There ain't not one man, ain't not one woman, especially a blessed fired woman and women. I love you. Amen. There's a place for the woman, there's a place for the man. Amen. Amen. But I am about sick and tired of this garbage in this world today. Well, ask old brother so-and-so what he thinks. It don't matter what he thinks. The demon needs to be dealt with. And if he can't run the demon out, you need to leave and go worship the Lord somewhere. Amen. Routine and tradition. Just doing it over and over and over and over again. It ain't an easy thing. It ain't an easy thing to address the demon. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a rewarding thing. But it needs to be dealt with. Amen. Help us, oh Lord. Help us right here. Well, he kicked the devil out. Amen. Run him out. Everybody still with me right here? Some of you is getting real good and nervous, and it's okay. Amen. I like to keep you guessing on what I'm going to do next. Amen. He got the devil out, run the devil off, and got that crowd tore up, and then they begin to question who he was. Amen. Well, then his fame began to spread through about all about the region about Galilee.
This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I'm going to add another point right here to verse number 28. That crowd that Jesus dealt with was that crowd that liked to talk about him. Either the good or the bad. According to verse number 28 right there, immediately his fame spread. That means they're talking about what Jesus done. Amen. I'm going to stop reading right here. And I'm just going to go ahead and claim it is done. After this service is over with, I'm going to go spread what Jesus done in this service tonight. I'd like to go call Miss Kim after this service is over with and say, Mama, your prayers made it to heaven. Somebody got born again. Amen. Let me stop right here. Can I stop right here and pull this piece of paper out? Can I help somebody? I know somebody's about half bored, but I'm going to share my heart. I left out of there. My wife was supposed to have been here with me last night and tonight, and things just happened. But while I was getting my stuff together yesterday, Miss Kara, she came to me. She told me, she said, there's something I need you to know before you go. And she said, first thing I need you to know before you go, she said, I'm going to miss you. Second thing she said, before you go, I need you to know something. I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. Then she went on as I was getting stuff together and was just kind of bouncing through the house. And she said, something else I need you to know before you go is I love you. And then the last thing she told me right before I left, she said, I need you to know that I'm going to be waiting on you when you get home. Amen. I've got to spiritualize in that thing. That's just about the way I am. Hey, son. I feel like I've just stopped my message right here, Wayne. Just mind the Lord for a minute. Hey, some of y'all need to know something before you go out them doors. Hey, some of y'all need to know something before you walk out them doors right here. There's a Jesus that loves you. Amen. And if you walk out them doors tonight and you turn your back on Jesus, hey, something else you need to know. He's going to miss you while you're gone. Amen. 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 But if you walk out them doors right there and you forsake Christ, you turn your back on Him, He's going to say this, there's something else you need to know before you go. I'll be right here waiting on you when you come back. Amen. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, y'all, we don't know when He's coming back. So I wouldn't take my life into my own hands and walk out them doors right there. I want to be that one in verse number 28 right there that's telling somebody about Jesus, that Jesus loves you. Amen. And I believe when we went in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was praying for us. So we got a God in heaven prayed for us. Amen right there. So I'm telling you right now, I feel the Holy Ghost of God moving right in here. And I got to go on. But them demons at church, and we're sitting up in here in church tonight, and I wonder how many demons we got sitting right there inside of our soul telling us you ought not to do that. Don't get saved. Don't go all in for Christ. Don't go. Don't preach. Don't love the Lord. Don't raise your youngins right. But it's up to us tonight to be that part of that departed crowd. So you know what? This old lifestyle is no good. I'm going to go in. I'm going to just give all to the Lord and follow after Him. I got to go, man. I'm talking about that departed lifestyle. I'm talking about that demon in church. Some of us need to just pick up by the nap of the neck, bounce it off one of these pylons up here and just get marvelously saved tonight. Well, anyway, in verse number 29, they left the church. Everybody with me in verse number 29? Amen. Help us right here, Lord. I may quit right after this, if the Lord will let me. And forthwith, they were come to the out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. That's them fishermen. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of the fever, and Anon, they tell him of her. That word Anon means they did it real quick. We want you to know right off the bat. We just want you to know right now that Simon's mother-in-law is at the house sick. She's running a fever. Don't know what's wrong with her. That's why she wasn't at church today. But we want to tell you right off the bat before we get there what the problem is. But thank God for the Bible. Verse number 31. Look at verse number 31. Somebody just go ahead and blurt it out what the first three words are. Even though Andrew and them boys said, look, Simon's mom-in-law is laying down at the house. She's sick. Something wrong with her. She's running a fever. She's chilling. She's aching. We don't know what's wrong with her. But verse number 31 says, and he came.
Jesus said, I don't care what's wrong with her. Don't care where she's been. Don't care if she's got the COVID. Don't care if she's got the jungle flu. Don't care what the problem is. Jesus said, I'm coming. I want to stop right here and say this. I'm glad, hallelujah, he came anyway right where I was. When the world labeled you, when the world said this about you, when the world tried to turn you down, when the world forsook you, he came anyway. But I'm telling you right now that he came to that house, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So I'm telling you right now, in my heart, as I read verse 29 to 31, I'm about to quit here in just a second. Somebody bear with me. Give me 5 more minutes. That what my heart, God spoke to my heart was that Jesus came and ministered to the down and out. Amen. How do you say she was down and out? Well, in Bible times, and like anywhere else, a custom it should be in this world we're living in, it was the woman's position to be the servant in the house. It was her that should have been cooking dinner. It was her that should have been bringing dinner to the supper table and feeding everybody and cleaning the house and doing what needed to be done as a servant inside that house. But now the mother-in-law is laid up in the bedroom. She's sick. She's got a fever and she can't help. Now, no, you can't tell me that that woman wasn't down and out. She was worried. I couldn't go to church today. Now they're blessed fire. They just text me and said, Jesus is coming to dinner. I can't get up and cook nothing for him. You can't tell me she was laying in that bedroom down and out and discouraged that she can't be in there at the rest of the family fellowshipping with Jesus. And they said, listen, she got the fever, Jesus. She said, that's all right. Fever's nothing to me. But you don't know where she got the fever. Jesus said, I don't care where she got the fever. I'm the answer to that fever. I'm the cure to that fever. Amen. That right now, that fever is trembling at the thought of me even coming. Amen. Jesus walks in there and gets her by the hand, raises her up. And what did our Bible just tell us? He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately. Ain't there something right there? Immediately the fever left her. Can I say something to somebody right here? You may be down and out. You may be discouraged. You may be feel like the world's forsaken you. You may be lost as a bald and high weeds. Never prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to save you. I got good news for us tonight. If we just trust the Lord with what we got in our minds, what we got on our hearts, what's got us all gommed up in our mind, that heart that's black as sin. I'm telling you right now, that same immediate touch that Jesus gave that woman that day, he can do for us tonight. It's just one. Look up in your list. Man, ain't that a blessing right there? Your escape in hell is one prayer away. What kind of prayer? Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Lord, I'm lost and I want to be saved. Ain't that something? We make salvation so hard. Hey, amen. It ain't no 55-step program. It ain't a crash course on Jesus. No, it's just falling right in love with the Lord, saying I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus died for me. I'm a sorry, low-down nothing. I don't know how God can save me. Oh, but he can. And he will if you'll just trust him. One prayer. Ain't that something? Is that not? I mean, I think I may get saved again. If it's possible, but it ain't. I mean, I'm talking about just one simple prayer can change our mailing address. Amen. Amen. One simple prayer can change our eternal destination. We were talking about flying over a while ago at supper. I'm just a. If you used to buy a ticket to San Francisco, well, let's don't say San Francisco. Who wants to go there? If you used to buy an airplane ticket to Denver, Colorado, and you used to call down there and say it to the airport or you travel agency, you know what? I've changed my mind. I want to go to wherever else is fit to go to. Texas. We want to go to San Antonio, Texas. Y'all done been down there, didn't you? Amen. You know how much of an act of Congress here. Well, let me click on. You could hear the little clicking on the telephone. Let me see if there's any available seats. And if that ticket was cheaper than the other tickets, you're going to have to pay. They're going to have to refund your credit card, or you may have to pay them some extra money. You know how I'm talking about? To just to change destinations, the headache that you'd have to go through. Amen. Let me just go ahead and start clicking for somebody. It's as easy, baby, as just praying and saying, God, I don't want to go to hell, but I want to go to heaven. And immediately, hallelujah, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll be saved forevermore. Amen. One simple prayer, and you're in heaven. You're as good as heaven. Amen. One simple prayer. Amen, Chris. You ever prayed that prayer? Amen. I know you had. Had you? Is you ever prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save you? Yeah. Have you? Brett, have you? Made a prayer. Changed his address. Amen. Have you? Amen. Have you? Anybody getting nervous? Have you? Amen. Have you, Brother Reuben, been born again? 2013, 19 years old. Ask the Lord to save him. What about it? You been saved? Amen. JD, been born again? Changed the address. On my way to hell one day, prayed a prayer, got up. Born again. You been saved? Amen. Hallelujah. Been saved. 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 Hallelujah. I'm saved tonight. If anybody's sitting there thinking, oh, God, please don't ask me. Oh, yeah. Come on. Look, stay with me. Yeah. Be like Blessed Wayne back there. Pick me. Pick me. Wayne, are you saved? Amen. So, but in all reality, joking aside, there could be people sitting right here right now. Palms are sweating. Lump right in there. And they're saying right now, God, if you can hear me, don't let him call on me. Because I'll have to lie or get honest before this whole crowd. But here's the thing, dear friend, I'm done. I didn't get done preaching. I feel like I'm just going to just quit. Come get that guitar again. The Lord told me to quit. Here's the thing. If you sat there right where you was and you prayed a prayer and said, God, please, don't let him pick me. Can I tell you something? He didn't hear your prayer. You say, well, how come you didn't pick me? God extended grace to you. But the first and only prayer that God will hear from you, sir, ma'am, the only prayer that God's going to hear from you tonight is that prayer of, Lord, I'm lost. And I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can save Chris back there, you can save me. If you can save Wayne Stafford, you can save me. Lord, if you can save Brett Lauder back there, surely you can save me. If you can save Jordan McIntosh, Lord, surely maybe you can save me. That'd be the only prayer God will hear from you tonight, sir, ma'am, is, Lord, will you please save me? One simple prayer changes your eternal destination. I feel God all over that. I'm about to sign my own Bible on that thought. At one simple prayer. And we make it so hard. But it's just one prayer, Brother Jordan. We're in heaven. That down and out crowd. There's two other crowds I want to tell us about. Was that diseased crowd. Oh, let me finish right here. That diseased crowd. There was many diseased people. You read the rest of Mark chapter number 1. Plumb full of diseased people. And Jesus helped them. We all got some kind of little infirmity about us tonight. Ain't none of us perfect little halo wearing Christians. We all got our infirmities. But guess what Jesus wants to do? Make your second chapter better than your first chapter and give you some help. But I can't finish. I can't stop, boys, without telling you what verse number 43 says in Mark chapter number 1. This is going to help us right here. Lord, help us. Mark 1, I said 43, verse 45. Jesus has now touched a diseased man in verse number 42 and 43 and 44. He tells him to go your way and don't tell nobody what's going on. But this old boy left out there, bug-eyed, wild in love with Jesus and telling everybody. Yeah, amen. Amen. Told everybody. And now because he's done told everybody, look, jump in here in verse 45 with me. He went out and began to publish it much, tell everybody what Jesus done, and to blaze abroad the matter in so much, here's your Bible, in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. Stop reading. It's a sad time in this world we're living in when Jesus ain't even welcome in our cities and our towns no more. But we're living there. But the last part of verse number 45, Brother Wayne, boy, this helped me. But the Bible says, but was without. That means he left and went into the desert places. And here's what happened. When he went to the desert places, they came to him from every quarter. They had to come from everywhere. They said, yeah, it might not be convenient like it always was here in town. Yeah, Jesus may be an hour and 40 minutes out there in the desert, but I'm going to go where Jesus is. That first crowd left what they was familiar with. That was casting nets. Now I wrote right down here on my notes right here, that last crowd, they was having to go out to the desert places, and them places, when they come to him, they had to get out of their comfort zones and go to the uncomfortable places. So it started, the fishermen, it started with some of them boys leaving where they was familiar with and going to trust in Jesus. And the last part of this thing tells about all them people come from every quarter going from the comforts of the cities to the desert places. Now I'm going to stop right here and say this. I'm closing. You want that closer walk with the Lord, child of God? It may take us, and I'm living proof. Living proof. Living proof, Brother Wayne, of what I'm about to tell you. If you want that closer walk with the Lord, it may take us leaving from what we're comfortable with to go into a desert place and say, Lord, I'm tired of being comfortable, tired of being familiar. And if we have to come out here where the ragweed is, where the tumbleweed is, where there ain't nothing growing, where there ain't no good water, Lord, if that's where I need to go to get close to you, then so be it. I don't want to bore nobody. I don't. I don't want to bore nobody. But I pastor one of the greatest churches on this side of heaven. Love my church, love my people, Wayne. Been going through the same COVID mess everybody else is going through. We just finished I don't know how many square foot blessed fellowship hall building down there. During this COVID comes along and money, we ain't struggling at the church. God's blessed us, Brett. But COVID comes and people starts being people and they ain't coming and them ain't paying their tithes. So I stood in front of my church last Wednesday night and I told them, I said, I'm going to forfeit a third of my salary. Giving up a third of my salary that you pay me, you give me, and I don't even like to call it being paid. It's a gift. Preachers ought not be doing what we're doing for a payment. But I said, I'm offering up a third of my salary for at least 6 months so we can start knocking that fellowship hall thing down. That was Wednesday night. Friday night, my wife is sitting there at the kitchen table. We're eating supper. She bites down on whatever it was we was eating, gets up and leaves the table and goes to the back of the house and comes back in there with a wadded up paper towel, lays it down right in front of me and smiles at me, chipped one of her front teeth, knocked about half of it out, that old flesh. That devil said, you ain't got dental insurance. Now what you going to do, biggin? You stood up there and done what you done and forfeited your salary. And Miss Kim went on down out of the dentist today. She sends me a text message back. She said, oh, it ain't going to cost about $1,700 to get my teeth fixed. I was like, Lamb of Almighty God, I'm in the wrong profession. On the way from Hendersonville, I got all this driving by myself in that truck. Lord says, still going to trust me?
Still going to trust me? I said, Lord, because Wayne knew what verse 45 said. I said, Lord, if you have to take me to the desert places, I'm fine with that. If I have to go out there in a desert place and go without, I'm fine with that. I'm just going to trust you. Yes, it's been down and out times. Yes, it's been discouraging times. But oh, it's been delivering times too. Amen. Ain't never seen it. Taking that Bible at its word, never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen his seed of begging bread. You know how I can say that, y'all? Because I'm saved. I'm one of his. Amen. If I was lost, amen, and had to face what I faced today, what I had to face even yesterday coming down here, know that everything had gone wrong and everything was awry. And I ain't lying to you. I'm coming up Interstate 40 yesterday. I said, God, how in the name of God are you going to use me to help anybody in this revival, knowing what I've been going through in the past couple of days? And he just whispers to me, just trust me. Just trust me. Can I tell somebody something right quick? Just trust the Lord. Lost person, he's talking to you, and he said, just trust me. You'll never make it in this life alone without going stark, raving, crazy, mad. You'll never make it alone. But there's a God in heaven that says, sure, we'd like to have some time with you. Sure, we'd like to save you, save your wife, save your children. You know how that boy right there is going to make it out of hell is watching a mom and daddy. Keeping them in church, getting them around this kind of stuff. It's the only way they're going to escape hell. So I'd say this evening, we better be careful what we're exposing our young'uns to. Jesus loves you, sir. Ma'am, Jesus loves you. He didn't go to bloody Calvary to die so you could walk out that door and keep living the way you want to live. He wants to save you tonight. One simple prayer changes your eternal destination from heaven to hell. Father, I love you, and I sure thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I thank you, God, for the privilege I can call upon your name in this time. I'm so glad tonight, Lord, you're on my side. I'm glad you're my friend. Lord, I sure am thankful, Lord, that you come in Mark chapter number 1 and dealt with all that you dealt with so that you could come to this church tonight on a Monday night and deal with those that's sitting here tonight. Lord, there's some down and out people here this evening. Deal with them tonight so their chapter 2 can start a whole lot better. Lord, there's some diseased ones here tonight. I pray God should cleanse us from our unrighteousness and get us ready for heaven.